I don't know if I could quite replicate. I want a big crunchy square like you had.
Everyone does. It's kind of, it's a fucked up world that we live in, you know?
This is a fucked up world with fucked up people.
It's a fucked up world.
Swine flu, Ebola, COVID-19, what's different?
Let's hold out your mic for a second. Let me clap.
Yep.
Let me try that again.
I hated that.
That was awesome. Better.
That showed up.
Yeah.
The worst tweet from Drake's run of those three albums was he had this planned all along. He's a certified lover boy, but honestly, never mind. It's her loss. And I was like, I'm readying my snipers circulating around your house like sharks smelling blood.
Sniper en route.
Yeah.
He's going to find you.
That'd be awesome. If Drake released an album called Sniper en route,
I would listen.
I'm listening, yeah, for sure.
Just to figure out why the hell he called it that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know why he titles anything.
Yeah. Wagwan, Drake.
Wagwan.
Wagwan, my slime.
Wagwan with that lawsuit, brother.
Wagwan with my... Wagwan with the lawsuit, Pondy Court. Sorry.
Oh, man. We're off to a great start. Hello, chat. Welcome back to This Ain't a Scene. It's a podcast. You'll notice that if you're on YouTube, there's no video. That's because...
we wanted to jack off during the video, so...
Yeah, neither of us have pants on, and our hogs are out, and...
We're going through a drive-thru.
Yeah. We're going through a drive-thru in our black Dodge Challenger, and...
Jesus.
After this, we're going to do something very funny.
We're currently doing something very funny, and after, we will be doing something funnier.
So true. So true.
What happened to that guy?
He killed himself.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. Like, same day, before that video even got posted, he killed himself.
Because he was just... He had a feeling that it was going to pop off or whatever?
I honestly don't know. Maybe because he was like, fuck, everyone's going to know that I'm a sexual predator.
I think it's a crazy plan to... I mean...
Like, what was the objective?
I don't know. Maybe it was premeditated. Maybe he was like, I'm going to do this because this is going to be the last thing that I do.
And then I'm out.
And then I'm out. Yeah. I've always wanted to do this one thing.
I don't know if that's... For those who don't know what we're talking about, there's a video that went viral recently of a guy pulling up to a bikini coffee restaurant. It was like a drive-through, a bikini coffee drive-through, and he had apparently gone there multiple times and harassed the women working there a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So the manager came out because she recognized his car. The manager came out and was like, "Sir, are you ordering something?" And he was like, "Yeah." And then as she gets closer, she notices that his pants are not on. Fucker is wearing zero pants, and she goes, "You gotta get out of here. You gotta leave." And then his face shifts from like conversational, like pleasant to like dead terror. And he peels out of the parking lot and kills himself that day.
Yeah. So,
you know, on the one hand, sucks that he killed himself because he did have a wife and child.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
yeah.
What the fuck was he thinking?
Yeah.
Like, one, you don't have to kill yourself over that.
No.
Two, stop harassing women at bikini restaurants with your fucking meat out.
Yeah. And there's so many bikini restaurants these days.
There's just so many. Bikini Bottom.
I went to one of those in Seattle.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, like, it was just... It was whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, man, like...
Was the food any good?
It was, so in the Pacific Northwest, they have all these, like, they basically look like train cars that have no walk up and no indoor dining. It's drive through only, and like a girl in a bikini like makes you a latte.
Mm.
I didn't get anything to eat.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I remember, I think I just got a latte.
That's pretty much exactly the same kind of restaurant that guy drove through.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. Like, I think there's a particular type of man in this world that, like, is like, cool, filing that away for later. The girl in the bikini made me a latte and said, here you go, sweetie.
Yeah. That's going in my mind,
I'm just not that type of guy. I'm just not the type of guy that's tucking that away into the spank bank, you know?
If I want to jack off, I'm not doing that.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not reaching into the far recesses of my memory to, like, you know.
That's like advanced. What color hair did
she have? I can't remember. Fuck!
I can't come anymore. Fuck!
Oh, no, that was me coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I couldn't.
I can't remember what hair she had.
My memory's so bad.
The more turned on I get, the worse my memory gets.
That's why I've never understood, like, Hooters or. What's the ass one? What's ass Hooters again? Tilted Kilt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Tilted Kilt.
Like, number one, like, your Hooters waitress comes over to you and you're like,
hot mama.
Oh, fuck. Look at your fucking boobs. You know, like,
yeah.
For that's disrespectful. I don't want to do that to somebody.
Yeah.
But also, like
I get that's the, you're I get going that that's home the point.
Later like, to jack it to your Hooters waitress. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like an even.
Steven.
And even Steven, so true. Liz, I don't know how to
segue out of me saying even Steven.
No. I look at Hooters as like a strip club without the like with half the main appeal of a strip club and extremely mid food. And I don't even go to strip clubs like that.
Sure.
The only one I've been to is the Claremont Lounge as a bit. And if you know what that is, we're just going to keep it pushing.
Yeah. Mumford and Sons got kicked out of that place.
How do you get kicked out of Claremont Lounge?
I don't know. You're just rowdy enough to.
How do you be Mumford and Sons and get kicked out of you wrote Little Lion like Man 4chan, and you're gonna
that sounds like a 4chan green text post. Be me, Mumford and Sons bassist.
Wrote part of Little Lion Man.
Wrote the baseline of Little Lion Man.
Get a little too fucked up in the Claremont Lounge.
I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear?
But yeah, I like. Listen, if you're going to a strip club, I get it. You're looking at boobies and whatever.
There's boobs. You can get a girl to sit on your crotch.
You can get the most.
I get the appeal.
Yeah. You can get the most blue balls of your entire life.
It's like, if my, like, and I suppose the point of a Tilted Kilt is, like, to look at your waitress's ass as she walks away, but, like, I wouldn't do that at a normal restaurant.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know.
If I'm going to a spot like that, the food better be damn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I better be going there, also, and I'm like, this is the best, like, set of wings I've ever had in my whole life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, ass restaurant where your ass is out, they can fart on the food.
They can.
It's so easy.
It's easier to do that than normal.
It's easier to fart on the food than it is normal.
It's so easy to fart on the
food. It's so easy. All I can think about is how Stacy might fart on my food.
That's all I'm thinking about. And for some people, all I'm
thinking about is Cherry, which is probably not even her real name, farting on my food.
All I'm thinking about is Indigo over here, which is definitely not her real name, farting on my food. Definitely and for some people, that's more of an attraction.
I'm worried that my food's not going to get farted on.
I go to the Tilted Kilt specifically to get my food farted on, okay?
I'll take a 12 hot. Can I get all thighs and fart on it for me?
We get 12 hot.
Tell your kill up a little further and fart on him for me, yeah?
Can you fart on him for me? Can you get Indigo to fart on him for me? Indigo is a white woman with the biggest ass I've ever seen in my life.
You're calling into the restaurant, just like, yeah, I'll be there in 15 minutes, so you'll probably want to fart on it in like 5, just to get the timing right. Yeah. And are you going to fart on it before it goes in the fryer, or after? Cool. So 10 minutes.
I pull up in my black Dodge Challenger, and you know what happens next.
Ready for my food to be farted on.
And then I see the general manager, and I know what I'm doing later today.
Mm.
Killing myself.
Took me a minute. Anyway.
Welcome back to the Saint Asenita podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dawson Goonerside Beck.
I'm Carson, last name Pace. My nickname is last name. It's a weird thing.
Oh, okay.
Carson Indigo Pace. I'm wearing a stringy thong.
Yeah, that's why we can't have the video on.
Yeah.
It's not because Macs don't come with USB ports anymore, and you need an extender to do that.
Yeah. I will say, my new phone is a USB-C, John.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, it is a little nicer than the Lightning thing.
Yeah.
Because there's USB-C cables everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just around in the world. I feel like I find 6 of them every day.
Yeah.
So, that is kind of nice. I am rocking with the USB-C. But it fucking up our bag today is a little annoying.
Yeah. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I'm going to fart on your food.
I'm going to fart on your food. Yeah. In fact, I already did.
In fact.
And
do you want a second fart? It is extra.
It is. Yeah. That's another 50.
You
better
tip me and say thank you.
Yeah. You're going to
thank you is more important than the tip, because manners are over money. Here at the Tilted Kilt.
Manners over money. That sounds like our motto.
That's our motto. Manners over money.
Manners over
money. As long as you say thank you, your meal's free.
That sounds like the worst hardcore song I've ever heard in my life. Manners over money. It's like they're trying to imbue the sentiment of like community over anything and like not selling out, but manners over money.
It's a shittier version of terror. Yeah. Yeah. Manners over money.
Oh man.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to talk about this song?
Sure.
So we have a good song to talk about?
We do have a good song today. Team, the song we're talking about today is Coffees for Closers, which is in parentheses.
Dawson, shut up. It's time for a new segment I'm introducing called Birthday.
Birthday?
Yep.
Is it someone's birthday?
Nope.
Okay.
Back to the song.
All right. Tune in next time to find out if it's someone's birthday. Well, anyway, now that birthday is over.
Birthday.
Here's a snippet of the song. And it's over.
And it's over. Look at that. Look at that.
Can you believe it? I can't.
I can't either.
Team, this is a great song.
This is a good song. Now, I'm going to be doing this with all of our Foley songs going forward. Do you remember? Because I don't. And I listened to the whole episode. But do you remember Jack Morris's thoughts on this song?
I think they liked this one. I think this was one of the ones that they liked.
Okay.
It's not like it, I think it probably wound up like closer to the bottom of their liked songs for it, but I think they did enjoy it.
Okay.
Especially because like, what song is this directly after? This is directly after
Kevin Costner is 70 today.
Oh, wow.
Just bringing that up.
Sounds good.
Part of birthday.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Yeah. Birthday. But this is right after Shipped Gold Standard, which
Jason Siegel, 45 years old today. Continue.
They did really like Shipped Gold Standard. And I think at this point.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
Yeah. At this point, I think they were like, this album's on a run. And then. We got the $20 nosebleed and everything came crumbling down again.
Oh, they didn't like $20 nosebleed, did they?
No, they did not. That one and, oh no, they got to What a Catch, which is directly after this.
Oh, they hated that one. Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that Jack Morris really, really hated What a Catch.
Listen, they come from screamo world and power violence world. So like, I'm not expecting
them. Yeah, but they'll get over that. How old is Jack Morris?
22.
Yeah, they'll get over that soon.
Yeah.
They'll realize that show tunes are actually cool.
Yeah.
Which, by all intents and not all of them. No. That's not what I said, is it, Dawson?
I know, but you know, we have an episode about Brendan Urie called The King of Show Tunes.
Dave Bautista, 56 years old today. Anyway.
Wow. this is a funny little segment you have here.
Don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
For all intents and purposes, this is a show tune. Like, it is very theatrical.
Yeah.
Takes the name from Glengarry Glen Ross.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so also. I think it's Glengarry Glen Ross.
Glengarry Glen Ross. Gotta say, if I...
Something I've never seen.
I haven't seen it either.
Don't know the premise. Don't know who's in it. Couldn't tell you who Glenn... Or Gary, or Glenn, or Ross.
It looks like Alec Baldwin is in this movie.
I had a feeling he was maybe in that. And he may be the one that says coffees for closers.
He does.
Boom.
Coffees for closers.
Not
only.
A big deal or anything.
No.
Not like a huge thing.
No.
Is Glengarry Glen Ross a musical?
It is
a stage production. Yes.
Don't think it is a musical. I'm also not sure if it's a stage production.
I believe it is.
Well, I'm about to find out.
I was in Glengarry Glen Ross on Off-Broadway.
I was in Glengarry Glen Ross.
It's me, Glen Ross.
It does not look like it is a musical. In fact, it is described as a 1992 American tragedy film.
Oops.
Now, what I want to know... Who the hell is Glenn?
So Alec Baldwin doesn't sing it like coffees for closers.
It doesn't look like it. Okay. It also doesn't look like there's anybody named Glenn, Gary, Glenn, or Ross in this movie.
That is infuriating.
What the fuck is the point?
Yeah. Let's.
Why would you call your movie that? Speaking of shit ass musicals, Emilia Perez is getting a lot of fucking awards buzz, and that shit is terrible.
She looks bad.
It is awful.
That shit looks really bad. Mark Rylance, 66 years old today.
Awesome. I'm so glad I know all these celebrity birthdays now.
It's all good.
It's all the same day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Every celebrity was born today.
I don't know if we've ever brought it up on the show. I have the same birthday as Joe Biden.
Oh, wow. I have the same birthday as Guy Fieri, I believe.
You think Joe Biden's slinging his Scorpio shit like I do?
I think Joe Biden is not doing that.
He's not giving it to Jill 6 ways to Sunday?
That reminds me of a tweet I saw right after they won, right after the 2020 election was won by Joseph Robinette Biden.
Joseph Robinette.
This tweet was like... I hope Joe and Jill have the sloppiest, most ball-slapping sex tonight, and that they both come twice.
You know, before I knew the R stood for Robinette, I thought it stood for racist.
Joseph Racist Biden.
Joe Racist Biden.
Good old Joe Racist.
I'm racist? Joe Racist. Sorry.
That might be one of your worst jokes. It's down there.
Hey, Joe's on the phone. Oh, who? Joe Racist.
Huh?
What?
Joe Racist is on the phone.
Yeah, anyway.
Wait till Joe Murderer gets on the phone.
Wait until David Ayer, 57 today.
Awesome.
You do not like this bit very much.
I just don't. I don't think I understand it yet. You know?
It's birthday.
Oh, okay. You know, it's my birthday soon.
Oh, cool. So back to the song. When is your birthday?
The 22nd.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
We celebrated it last year. What did we do? We did something.
Oh, thank you. Amber just mouthed happy birthday to me, even though it is the 18th.
It is the 18th, yeah.
It is appreciated, though. Yeah. I'm turning 25.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I love this song.
I do, too.
I think the song's really good. I think the... it's got a lot of elements to it that I think I could... that could lose me.
Mm-hmm.
And if a lesser band did it, I think that they would lose me. But I will say, I think songs like this are usually reserved for smaller bands,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of why I think this is so interesting, is like, this is like almost something I would hear like on like a Bright Eyes record or like a Cursive record or something like that.
Mm.
Like something big and bombastic like this. It also, you know, there's some movie scores it's reminiscent of too. Like I think that only the Fall Out Boy of this specific year that this album came out could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really is such an out there idea. With the, like, you know, it begins with that like pulsating, you know, four on the floor type thing. Bom, 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 bom. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then the strings come in before any guitars come in. And it's like, whoa, what the hell's going on here? And the strings majestic. Sound amazing. It sounds like a 40-piece orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And like, can we talk about the tubas at the end of this song?
Dude.
The VeggieTales ass riff that these motherfuckers play on this.
Dude, they hit a VeggieTales ass riff. I feel more alive than I've ever felt in my whole life.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm back to watching those funny veggies tell me stories about the Bible.
Tell me about Jesus.
Tell me about Jesus.
I said, let that tomato talk.
Let we're that gonna cucumber pull up and
we're
speak.
Gonna let that tomato talk.
Let that asparagus speak.
Let that cucumber crumble. Oh, it doesn't even make a whole lot of sense.
No,
but I like it. Crumbling. I like the way my mouth felt when I said it.
Crumbling when describing the story of Jesus's birth. Like, how do you fuck that up?
Let that carrot chat.
Mm.
You know?
Let that zucchini tell you about the Lord.
Let that zucchini be a zealot. Mm, you know?
So
you know?
True.
About Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do appreciate all the horns and all the strings on this song. They're consistently through the song too. Like, I think there isn't a single moment where they aren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
And like the way that the horns will occasionally follow the guitar line, like there's like a wow now now like little walk up ascension thing that works really, really well. Yeah, they don't really have another song that's comparable to this too. Not on this record or on previous records or anything like that. Closest I could maybe say that they have a song to this is maybe So Much for Stardust because of all the instrumentation on that song. But even then, that's mostly a choir. So
yeah,
they don't really have anything that's the equivalent of this. They've never really written another song like this. This song's cool as fuck, man. Like, it's amazing that this thing exists. I know we suck this album's dick constantly, but like,
it deserves it.
It deserves it. This song is like so fucking good.
This album's got like a 9-incher, brother.
It's got a 9-incher and it's fucking.
It knows tomatoes how to talking.
Let's put it that way.
That tomato is speaking a sermon to me right now.
That tomato. I don't know.
I'm getting all 19 inches of venom right now.
Dude, riot in the left hand, carnage in the right hand, venom in the pussy. That is one of the grossest tweets of all time.
That's a tweet?
Do you know what I'm referencing?
No.
It's just like, it gets posted every time there's a new Venom movie. It's like, it's just like fan art of every symbiote's cock size.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's like, these are enormous dicks we're talking about. Like, yeah. I think 19 inches of Venom is like accurate.
Mm-hmm.
They're enormous penises. And it's a girl like quote tweeting it. And she's like, imagine taking Riot in the mouth and Carnage in the ass while Venom, while you stroke Venom. Like, like she's imagining having a six way with all six symbiotes.
Oh my goodness.
Seven way, I guess, if you include her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nasty. Like, I was like, you can't, you don't like this. You don't enjoy this. I know you don't enjoy this.
Listen, I'm not going to put it past her. I believe women. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying, you know.
I don't believe that this one won six symbiote dicks inside of her.
Maybe.
Well.
Maybe.
It is a gross tweet. That's, yeah. That's the official This Ain't a Scene, It's a Podcast stance, is that tweet is gross.
I saw a Marvel Rivals mod for Venom.
Let's go.
Where nothing has changed, but he's got a huge one. Like, it's so big that it almost looks detached from his pelvis. Like, it's that big.
I saw the mod where you can make Squirrel Girl thick.
She is already thick.
She is already. No, I
can make her thicker.
This was thicker than a motherfucker. I don't know. I guess I'd maybe mod Punisher to be smaller because he doesn't make me feel very good about myself, and he's the character I primarily play. So I would like Punisher to look a little more like me.
Gotcha. You've been playing Marvel Rivals?
A little bit, yeah.
I've been playing it a shit ton.
I'll play it with you.
Awesome.
Who are you maining?
I play, I guess the one I play
huge
the most.
Dong
right
Venom.
Now, huge Dong Venom. No, I play Mantis mostly. Mantis and Jeff are my healers, and then if I'm playing Duelist, it's usually Squirrel Girl. And if I'm playing Tank, it's Captain America or Thor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Thor annoys the dog shit out of me.
He's
I'm really tired of Thor.
He's so funny.
I'm interchanging between a Hawkeye, Punisher, and I played a little Psylocke.
Mm.
But that's only because she's sexy.
So true. Yeah, they really got the...
I feel comfortable enough to say this in front of my girlfriend, who is in the room right now.
She is in the room right now. She's waving. You can't see because we can't set up the camera, but...
She looks like Psylocke.
Holy Riz. But,
game is game, and the game is Marvel Rivals. I will say, it does have a rural juror-ass name.
Yeah,
Marvel Rivals.
Graham and I have been calling it Marvel Rival. Like, whenever we load up to play it, we're like, well, let's play some Marvel Rivals.
You gotta play with me and Tom.
I'm down.
And Hosian and Nolan.
I can... listen, I know you don't want to be a guy on Discord, but we gotta serve.
I so severely don't want to be a guy on Discord.
But that's how we communicate when we're like, how the fuck do y'all do? Are y'all on a FaceTime call doing it? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, how about you don't fucking worry about it? I hate being a Discord guy.
It's not being a Discord guy. It's just being able to talk to your friends while gaming.
This isn't important right now, but there's a Russian Circles, not Russian Circles, Closure in Moscow song. Essentially the same band name. There's a Closure in Moscow song where the featured rapper says the word Discord kitten, and I still like the song somehow.
That's crazy.
Anyway, back to another song.
So true. I'm closing this damn coffee.
Is there another part of the instrumental that you would like to point out?
I do really appreciate how all of the instrumentation is like balanced out, because it would be really easy, especially like, I think if they made this song, just one album later, it would sound so bad. Like,
oh, if this was a Save Rock and Roll.
Yeah. I think if this was on Save Rock and Roll or American Beauty, it would sound like the worst song to ever be written.
Different. I mean, vastly, like, there's,
I'm mostly speaking to the fact that everything is like
5 years of like changing production.
No, yeah, styles. I'm just saying like all of the instrumentation is balanced out effectively, and like you can pick out what you want when you want to, and it's not overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, dude, like the evolution of, I feel like I've even talked about this on the show before. The evolution of music tech pre and post hiatus, Fall Out Boy hiatus, like 2008 to 2013, like they were figuring shit out then. Like plugins sucked in 2008. You couldn't get a real horn sound. You had to get people to play that shit. Mm-hmm. Like you had to, because it was the only way it would sound remotely real.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 5 years that they're not a band, that they're on hiatus, not only does Pete figure out a lot of that production stuff, I mean, so does Patrick, for that matter. They both figure it out. But music tech just gets, like, so good in that time. Like, the way it got developed, especially because, like, everybody and their mom wanted to try and start making EDM around that time. Like, the market was just, it was changing so much. And by then it was like just having Pro Tools like isn't enough. You have to have like all these fucking plugins and everything. Mm-hmm. Granted, I mean, this album sounds fucking amazing. Like this song sounds huge production wise. I don't know if I've ever said this. I never want a remaster of this record. I know it's probably going to happen just based on what time does to things, but, this record,
it doesn't need it.
So fucking good.
Yeah. It really doesn't
need
one.
So fucking good.
It's one of those where it's like, if a remaster came out, I sincerely doubt that anything would be significantly different.
Yeah.
And if it was, it would be for the worse.
Because
they got it right the first time. It's not like they couldn't execute their vision because of a lack of production means. Like, they got it.
If you could choose for them to remix or re-record anything, what would it be? I think a modern re-recording of Take This to Your Grave would be very interesting, but maybe not. Like, I don't think it would rival the original in any way, but like, I think that it would be, I think it would be interesting to hear like their takes on that, on those songs nowadays.
It'd be interesting to hear how they approach all of those tracks with the 20 years of music that they've done since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would want to hear, Mania done competently,
mixed competently.
If they're going in and like redoing shit, I would want them to redo Mania. Cause like Wilson gave me a glimpse into a world where that album is good.
And I mean, we've had three songs where we've gotten a bit of a glimpse into that album being good
for me too. But
well, I mean, that still is more than how we went into this podcast. Feeling.
Yeah. So I would like a reality where Mania is a good album.
So
not to say that them going in and re-recording guarantees that happens, but I feel like at least they would
so recent. I don't think they're ever going to.
I don't think they're ever going to, even if that album was 20 years old, just because like of how it was received.
Yeah. Well, you do know it will eventually be 20, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One
day it's going to be older than you.
Yeah. Because I'm going to stop aging at some point. But you're Mania stop is aging, going to keep
Mania
aging.
But Mania will only keep aging.
Yeah.
This is not actually a timeless record.
No. This is the last year I will have a birthday. And I'm stopping it after that.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
David Ayer's 57 today and you're being serious?
Yeah.
Dave Bautista is 56 today.
That is really funny that David Ayer is 1 year older than Dave Bautista.
I gotta find. It's funny. Yeah.
The director of Suicide Squad.
It's not David S. Goyer.
No.
There's two different guys.
David S. Goyer is a writer who
he is a writer, online. But I thought he wrote Suicide Squad.
He might have, but David Ayer directed it.
Man, that's confusing.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think it's ever going to happen because that movie was dog ass.
Mm-hmm. You want the Ayer cut?
I want David Ayer's original vision of a soulful drama, which is how he described it.
I want that. I want the recut of Fanforestick.
Mm-hmm.
Not the recut, but the Josh Trank cut of Fanforestick. And I want the supposedly real director's cut of Cloud Atlas. Those are the three things that are on my wish list
for eventual
releases. Also, the Topher Grace cut of the prequels. I am very interested in seeing that.
Yeah, I would love
I would to very see much those. Like to see that.
I think we have a couple commonalities. Like, I'd love to see the Topher Grace prequels. I would love to see, like I mentioned already, the David Ayer soulful drama version of Suicide Squad.
The Ayer cut.
Yeah. Not because I think it would be good, but just to see what the fuck he meant by soulful drama.
What he's talking about with soulful drama. It ended up being edited by a trailer house, right?
Yes. So
Roadside Attractions?
Yeah. There was the Ayer cut, which nobody liked, but there was that trailer that was like synced up the Bohemian Rhapsody that everyone did like. So the studio was like, we'll just get them to edit the movie. And then the final product, I believe, is like an amalgamation of the two of those.
I can't even really see the Ayer cut in that movie.
No.
I don't know how many times I've seen that movie, though. I feel like I saw it in theaters, and then I maybe saw the last half of it. That movie looks like shit.
Oh, yeah. It is unbelievable.
Like dog shit.
How bad it looks. But, like, yeah. I saw it in theaters. I think parts of his soulful drama comes through, like, in the
bar scene.
In the bar scene.
Yeah. That's the best part of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's the best chunk of dog shit out of the entire pile.
What else is on your wish list?
Lost media wish list. I would love to hear Drake's response to Pusha T that he shelved, just to know if it's real. It isn't, but
I want to see the canceled Fall of Troy documentary that you can still find the trailer for.
There's one big one.
Dark trailer too.
Yeah. Like visually or like
content wise.
There was one. It's very recent, but that Coyote versus Acme movie. I would love to see that.
The one that Will Forte was like so excited about because he like wrote and directed it, didn't he?
Something like that.
Yeah. And like, I would have liked to see that too.
Yeah.
Batgirl movie. Mm-hmm. Also, that they just supposedly destroyed every copy of.
Yeah. Just fucking deleted it. For tax purposes.
Someone has it though.
Yeah, I would imagine someone does. I hope it gets leaked at some point. Oh, there's a song Todd in the Shadows illuminated me to its existence in a video of his. There's a song called I Admit That There Was Music by Chad Kroeger and Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, yeah.
It's registered on ASCAP.
I Admit That There Was Music.
I need to hear that.
Yeah, I have to hear that song.
I need to know what the fuck that sounds like.
Have either of them ever talked about it?
I don't think so. I don't know if anyone's had the balls to ask about it.
Chad Kroeger. Awesome guy.
Awesome guy.
I think he rocks, dude.
Yeah, it's such a shame that Nickelback sucks so much ass because he seems
don't you
like,
dare. Don't you dare.
He seems like such a cool
Nickelback
guy.
Nickelback has fucking great songs.
Listen.
Nickelback song you like right now.
That I like. I like
Name a Nickelback song you like. Just to be positive. And then we can go back to being real negative and nasty and disgusting.
I like the
Rowdy Randy Boys.
I like the first track off of their worst album, No Fixed Address. I think it's called Speed of Sound or something. I think that one's got a cool riff.
You don't like something in your mouth?
No.
Oh, wait, no, that's Animals. That's a good song. Something in Your Mouth has a crazy riff, too.
Animals Moles by Maroon 5. That's making a comeback.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Finally.
I heard it at the dentist today.
That's a dentist ass song, dude.
Listen, it's I heard
Die that with is a dentist ass song.
I remember the first one I heard when I got in there was Die with a Smile, the Bruno Mars Lady Gaga one.
Do you like that song?
It's okay.
Yeah. I think I've soured on it a little bit.
I fuck with it. That was the first time I'd like actually heard it.
Mm.
But one of the first songs after that I heard was Animals Moles by Maroon 5. And I'm sitting there like, and the dentist is grinding down one of my fillings. And I'm like, this is not what I want to be listening to right now.
Baby, I'm sucking your penis.
Baby, I'm sucking your cock tonight. Suck your cock, make you come.
I don't know.
Like an animal. An animal who sucks your cock.
The fucking
baby,
I'm
fucking gay tonight.
I've watched Super TF for years at this point, and he's switched into Marvel Rivals.
Uh-huh. Now
that's killing Overwatch, which thank God. But he plays Wolverine a lot whenever people don't ban it in his comp games because they know how good he is at it. But there was like a bit that one of his editors did where he's got that dive move and
sure. I'm familiar.
He does a long ass dive and it's Adam Levine's like wolf sound. He does that dive and he grabs someone, jumps off the ledge and he goes, baby, I'm praying on you today.
That's crazy.
It's so good.
All right. Let's get back to the song. Cause it's late.
So true. So true. Yeah, you know, for a while, this was my least favorite off this record.
I've ever told you how fucking stupid you are. I feel like we every time this record comes up, we do a favorite, least favorite. And if I had to pick, like, today, obviously it's not this one.
Mm-hmm. They call him the yawner.
Yes. In some people do.
Mm.
Some people do.
Some people do.
Yeah. If I were to pick a least favorite from this record right now, it wouldn't be this one, that's for sure. Least favorite. I guess 27, maybe Whams. I don't know. Both really good songs, though. So what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, picking a least favorite off this record is not like, oh, I don't like that song.
Yeah.
Because it's not like there are any bad songs on this record. Because there aren't.
I agree.
But, you know, it's just one of those records where, like, if someone asks you what your least favorite is, and, like, you have one, it's like, oh, you fucking don't like that song, buddy. And no, but it's the same as, like, I don't know, having a least favorite child, you know, you love all of them. Sure. You love all of them the same, allegedly, but you,
there's one you don't care for. Yeah.
There's one that you care for a little bit less, you know,
for sure. There's one that when you're like, when they turn like 10, you're like, I don't need a babysitter. They're fine.
I can let them bop around the house for a little bit.
I found this kind of funny. On the line, I will never believe in anything again, though change will come. Change will come. This genius annotation. At a show in Berlin on the Believers Never Die Tour Part 2, Pete states the following. I think a lot of people don't take the right meaning away from this song. It's not, I will never believe in anything again. It's about cameras. Change is okay if it's real change. We need to change in places like Sri Lanka and Burma and northern Uganda and the Congo. We need cameras there instead of cameras following around fake ass people in Los Angeles, myself being one of them.
Okay. That's
probably the most 2008 thing I've ever seen in my life.
Like, yeah, I agree. But what does that have to do with change and coming?
Yeah, I don't know, man. The song's about cameras, though, man.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
That's one where you're like, hey, Pete, like maybe never again. Maybe
listen.
Maybe you don't talk between songs.
Listen. The pre-chorus is, and oh baby, when they made me, they broke the mold. Girls used to follow me around, then I got cold. And you're going to tell me that's about Uganda? You're going to tell me that's about fucking, what's his goddamn name? Coney 2012? You're going to tell me
you're
going to
tell
guy?
Me this is about Coney 2012.
You're going
to Joseph Coney.
Joseph Coney 2012, which yeah. hadn't even, that He's video hadn't still even at happened
large.
Yet.
No. It did happen, and he's still at large.
No, it hadn't happened when this album came out.
Oh, good point. He's still at large.
He though. Was at large then, but America didn't know about him yet because mm-hmm. Coney 2012, the video, hadn't happened yet.
Of course. I can't believe how many hooks this song has.
Yeah.
Like, verse one, that, I can't explain a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So dope. Come together, come apart, only get lonely when you read the charts.
Banger.
What a really good lyric. Mm-hmm.
You're gonna tell me that's about Uganda?
You're gonna tell me that's about the Congo? Welcome to Uganda, son. They kill gay people here.
Welcome to Uganda, son. Fallout Boy is number one.
Fallout Boy number one. Uganda.
They're so lonely at the top of the charts.
Do you know what I'm referencing when I say "Welcome to Uganda, son"? They kill gay people here.
No,
it was like an early Let's Play series where they played Cabela's Extreme Hunter or something like that.
Oh.
And like it's two guys playing, and he just says that to him when they're in a boat. In Uganda in the game. It's just, welcome to Uganda, son. They kill gay people here. Come together, come apart, only get lonely when you read the charts. I love when a genius annotation begins with this. I feel this line is also about Fall Out Boy's popularity. Or not. Either the band is upset that a song they love isn't liked by other people, or the opposite. They have a hit song that other people like, but don't favor themselves. This line could also be interpreted in a broader sense of the band looking at other contemporary musical artists and feeling like the odd man out. Reflecting on Foley Adu in a 2022 interview, Pete explained how music changing at the time of Foley's release hurt its reception. Pop music changed from like, we play a couple different formats to we play four on the floor dance music. That's it. I think the record suffered slightly because of that change.
Yeah, I mean, Asher Roth, I Love College blew up the next year.
That is tough.
So, like,
would have been hard to compete with that.
Yeah. Like, he loves college.
I don't think I could be a band if that song came out.
Yeah, it's definitely like, if that song is charting high, not looking
I'm
good
low.
For bands. I'm low.
I'm low as fuck.
I'm low as fuck.
I'm the lowest I've ever been.
Yeah, I'm the lowest of the low.
I love that the second verse is only two lines.
Yeah. You know, another artist did that, Panic at the Disco, on Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die. What's the song called? Oh, Far Too Young to Die.
Mm. There you go.
Ostensibly the title track.
Is that the, like, synth-wavy one?
Mm-hmm.
With the, like, Lynn drum on it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that song.
It's an alright song.
I do think the second verse should have been more than two lines.
I agree.
But this song, I don't care.
Is that is the chorus of that song like? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's a good song. I do like that song.
Great chorus.
I love the lyric. I love the mayhem more than the love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome. It's a very P1's Pete Wentz line.
Yeah, it also helps that that verse is still well written despite being mm-hmm. so short. Yeah. Like, I like that Panic song, but that verse too is just fixation or psychosis devoted to neurosis now. Then he gets right back into the pre-chorus.
Hilarious.
Which, what the fuck does that mean, Brendan? Yeah. Me when I'm devoted to neurosis.
I was a big fan of that band, yeah.
Yeah.
A Sun That Never Sets, hard. Mm-hmm. I get it, Brendan. I understand.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what he was talking about.
I think so.
Yeah.
No. I think so.
Or not.
that's a new thing to add to the show. Just or not. I don't know.
Could not be.
I don't know.
I don't fucking know.
You're listening to the show. We don't know.
Why are you here? What asshole. Are you doing? Fuck you.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Your mom. Got him.
You did.
Got him. Got him. Got him.
Sometimes you let the tomato talk a little too much.
I think that is one of the most fucked up things you've ever said to me, pal. How dare
what
you?
What happened to Pal World? Are people still playing that?
It's still trucking. It's
still happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not as big as it was.
What about bath salts? Are people still doing those? I've been in a coma for 4 months.
I saw a video called Bath Salts Alarm Clock. Where this guy,
okay,
his wife is like sleeping on the couch and he like put some bath salts under her nose and she like fucking gasps and like starts screaming and then he blows up like a whipped cream cannon in her face. it is an insane clip.
I love like people who have no artistic ambitions beyond like just whatever that is. Like I love that.
I love people whose only creative contributions to this world are just harassing their people. It is a net negative on the world, but it is so funny.
Well, do you remember the Tom Green show? He painted like a lesbian sex scene on the front of his parents' car. Like,
oh my God.
Like that, like, of course the guy that directed Freddy Got Fingered just existed to like terrorize people, but like, goddamn. Anyway.
Apologies. I was yawning.
Apologies. I was thinking about Tom Green.
I don't know why I'm yawning. I slept a fuck ton today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe you need a few more hours. Shut up. Why don't you hand the mic over to Amber, and Amber and I will do the rest of the show. You can go to bed.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
Good night.
Awesome. Thank you, Amber.
Well, let's do a quick sponsor read from Tilted Kilt.
Go to Tilted Kilt to
get farted on.
To get farted on. Hot mama. Yeah. I love going to Tilted Kilt to get fucking farted on and then kill myself afterwards because I'm so embarrassed.
They should make a little R2-D2 restaurant.
Does he fart on the food?
No, he brings it to you. You're nasty, man.
What the hell?
You're in bad spirits.
What the fuck, man?
You brought this into my house. To my wife's house. You'll never guess what I'm doing, how I'm waking her up tomorrow. Couple ways you can take that one.
I think my girlfriend is getting back from Italy on my birthday, which is the day before we leave for tour.
Cool.
So I think I'm going to pull the smelling salts alarm clock as I head out the morning after.
Sure. Yeah. The way you said smelling salts was really fun. You added like another S in there. So you're like smelling salts.
Oh.
Smelling salts.
I didn't notice that. Maybe the dentist drilled out a little bit of my brain too. It was one of my bottom teeth that he was drilling on. But
speaking of drilling in the brain, have you been watching Severance?
Yes.
Good show.
A fucking amazing show.
Real good show.
I watched the first episode of season two yesterday.
We did also.
Goddamn.
Good show.
We can't talk about any of it because huge spoilers for the entire show. But
yeah,
Chad, if you haven't seen Severance, you got to go do that right now or you're fucked in the head, buddy.
So bad.
It's so good.
Anyway, you want to rank this song? Get the fuck out of here.
Sure. Do we want to talk about anything else about this song before we do that, or?
No.
It's just a great goddamn song.
It's just a great goddamn song.
Yeah, I think they were really on their shit with this one.
Yeah.
And
I do think it's funny that we're talking. We have a podcast about a band that went on hiatus, and the podcast itself does have to go on hiatus
pretty frequently.
Well, we got a big one coming up, Chat.
Yeah.
We should let's rank the song. I'm giving this song a 10.
I'll give it a 9. Yeah. I think the only thing that brings it down from a 10 for me is that some days Patrick being up so high in the chorus hurts my head.
Sure. Sure.
Because he gets up there and
he does get up there.
Stays there the whole time.
I think this is a strong argument for Patrick like leading like a gospel worship.
Yeah. Someday. I think he could do it.
He could. He could absolutely do it.
He's got the pipes for it. And I'm speaking of pipes. Who else is still thinking about 19 inches of Venom?
All right, now. what are we talking about?
It sounded like you were going to bring something up after we rated the song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last episode, but we're going to be gone for a while, kids.
Yeah.
We're going to keep the Patreon content rolling. I'm going to do some, like, guest episodes and whatnot on there. But main feed's going to be down for a minute, I think.
Yeah. You know, it is, it's a good problem to have because, you know, like, ideal outcome for this podcast is that both of our bands get so successful that we don't have time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like,
and unfortunately, that is kind of happening.
It is kind of getting to that point, at least for Dow Boys.
That's not true. Y'all have two tours back to back.
We do. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's a lot further than a lot of bands get. And I'm very thankful for the success we've had thus far. And I hope it keeps going. But that's the trouble of starting a podcast, and the people who started it are two working musicians.
Yeah.
So this is just, it's gonna happen. If it wasn't during the Fall Out Boy wheel, it was going to be during the Panic Wheel or whichever
or the Modest
wheel.
Mouse Wheel.
Or the Modest Mouse Wheel or the Rick Ross Wheel
or the Weezer Wheel.
The Weezer Wheel or
I mean, if we do Weezer, we're going to be doing this till we're 60.
Yeah.
I'm actually fine with
it. Yeah.
I enjoy hanging out with you.
It is a nice way to consistently hang out.
Yeah. I love you. You're one of my best friends.
I feel the same.
Can't show any fucking emotion, can we? Jesus Christ. Autism, everybody. Don't do it. Not even once.
Not even once.
Autism.
Man.
Not even once.
It makes expressing yourself way harder.
Yeah. But I mean, I think we should reiterate that nothing's wrong. Dawson and I are great.
Yeah.
We're probably closer than we've ever been.
You can't see, but I'm nodding my head.
Yeah. Dawson's nodding his head.
Yeah. It's just getting to the point with both of our bands that a weekly release schedule for this podcast is probably not.
It's just a little out of the question for us. Yeah. So
things will calm down with both of our tours at some point in this year. Like mine is like minor tour. I'm going to basically be gone for like 3 weeks straight, which is the longest I've ever been out. Like, we're back for a couple of days, but it's not significant enough to be back.
And then I leave pretty much immediately after. So
yeah, and then Carson is just gone for like fucking, how long are you going to be gone? Like 3 months?
11 weeks.
God damn. Almost 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well call it 3 months between like March and April, I'm for sure gone.
Yeah.
And there may be something else that prevents me from doing the podcast after that too. So,
yeah,
you know,
things are in flux, but we're going to keep the Patreon content rolling. We're going to try and do episodes whenever we get the chance, like main feed episodes. Cause like, it just feels weird to do normal song episodes, like with just one of us. Like we haven't ever tried it before and we're not going to, cause like,
yeah, we don't think it's like, it's just not going to, it's not going to be able to work that way. And, yeah. I mean, we're certainly sad about it. You know, in a perfect world, we're able to do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we tried to do a remote, the quality dipped. Mm-hmm. We've tried to backlog, the quality dips. Like we've had some fun backlog episodes, I'm sure, but like for the quality that we want to be putting out for you guys of like consistently funny episodes, and like episodes where we're both really excited to record.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weekly and backlogging or remote is just not going to work for us. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But Patreon will be more frequently updated. So,
yeah.
Carson has some ideas for stuff. I'm probably going to figure something out on my end. If you want to keep, if you want to get like more episodes of this podcast, subscribe to our Patreon. $5 a month.
Yep.
You get more episodes.
Maybe like 40 Patreon episodes now or something like that.
Something like
that. A lot of
them. We've been going for a minute. But yeah. Fallout Boy.
Fallout Boy.
I don't think there could, like, as you said already, I don't think there could be a more appropriate band to have to go on hiatus about.
Yeah.
But you know, let's spin that damn ass wheel and see where we end up next time we get the chance.
Next week, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Next week should be fine. But after that, I'm gone, and then Carson is gone immediately after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but come see us on tour. We're not touring together, but
yeah, the podcast isn't touring.
No,
I feel like we need to reiterate that.
Yeah, I'm.
Yeah,
going
why don't you plug your tour real quick?
I'm going on tour with like my band Bummer Hill is going on tour with Motion Sick. We're doing a little 5-day run. We're hitting Louisville, Nashville, Atlanta, Birmingham, and Hattiesburg. Not in that order, but we're hitting all those. Hattiesburg is going to be funny because we have to play a 20-minute set. So we're playing 5 songs and leaving. But it's going to be sick. Motion Sick's great. And then after that, we're back home for a total of 3 days. Then we leave again for an 11-day run, I believe, with Newgrounds Death Rugby,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of my favorite emo bands. And some of my best friends are in that band.
Where's that tour going?
That is going all the way up to New York City and all the way down to like Orlando. So basically, like, basically anywhere on the East Coast, like, we're probably within a couple hours drive from you if you're not in the city that we're hitting. So come see us. I'm filling in for bass on for Newgrounds as well, so I'm gonna be playing double duty, and I'm excited about that. But that's Bummer Hill right now. Oh, we also are playing Emo Night on Valentine's Day. So if you're in Atlanta and you want something to do with your partner, come to Emo Night. We will be playing that. And in March, we're playing with Heart to Gold, who Jack really fucking loves that band. But we're playing with Heart to Gold in Atlanta again at the Masquerade.
Hell yeah.
And that is all that has been announced.
The Callous Dowboys, my band, we're out with Silverstein and Thursday over in the UK and Europe, Manchester, England, London, England, Paris, France,
Gay Paris,
Antwerp, Belgium, Amsterdam, fucking so many places in Germany. Pretty every major city in Germany, and also Vienna, Austria. So, if you are somehow a listener of a Fallout Boy podcast, a FODcast, as I almost said, since I'm getting older and combining words, if you're somehow a listener of this FODcast, in Vienna, Austria, come say hi. But also, the Callous Dowboys is going on tour with Chiodos. Chiodos is back. They're reunited.
Welcome back, Chiodos.
Welcome back, Mr. Chiodos. And we are out with them in every major city in the U.S. and some minor cities in the U.S. So
yeah, it's a big fucking tour.
It is the longest tour I've ever been on in my life.
So. Hooray!
Yay!
Hooray!
That'll be really fun.
Georgia Snow 2 is dropping January 31st.
That's right. That's right. Georgia Snow 2.
New Bummer Hill song. I think it is one of our best. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Amber, do you have anything to say?
Hi, everyone. No.
All right. Let's spin this wheel.
Amber, can you, will you grace us by hitting the spin button?
I've been here this entire time.
She's been here the whole time.
We did say it at the beginning of the episode. Just hit spin.
The spin button.
Let's see.
Hooray.
We'll see what we got.
It is
growing up.
Growing up. Wow.
Wow. All right.
Wow. Wow. I really hope next week
I get it now. It's a wheel that has all the songs.
Oh. I really hope, and you know, I'm putting this out there just in case it makes for some funny comedic irony, but I really hope next week we don't start our hiatus with having to look forward to one of the most dog shit songs we've ever heard.
I mean, what's left? Did we just do Centuries?
No, we just did Uma Thurman.
Fuck.
Centuries is still on the wheel.
Shit, you're right. It is. I'm looking at it right now.
We could still get Centuries. We could still get Young and Menace, too.
We could still get Young and Menace. We could still get Rat-a-Tat.
Oh, man. I can't believe we haven't done Rat-a-Tat
yet. We could still get the title track from Save Rock and Roll.
There's a lot of ass on the wheel still, so
yeah. This is bumming me out to look at.
All right, well,
yep. Anyway,
see you next time, Smile.
See you next time.
Bye bye.